Good morning. Oh, that was pretty good. Let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Before I begin our story, my plan was, I usually tell this phonograph story in 15 to 20 minutes, because that's about the attention span of younger people. But I'm told that the Sunday school will be staying up here, so I'm going to do this a little different. Now, those of you guys that are younger, you don't have to listen right this second, but the adults do. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. People might be asking, what is the relevance of the story you are telling? But it's very interesting that the Lord Jesus thinks that this story is very relevant to the people of his age as well as the people today. Matthew 24, verse number 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, and even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now listen to this next verse, because our story is going to be on Noah's Ark. And what we find out is the Lord Jesus believed in Noah's Ark. The Lord Jesus believed that the world was saved by the eight that lived in Noah's Ark. We'll see that in a moment. But let's just look at verse number 37. For the coming of the Son of Man, that would be the Lord Jesus, will be like the days of Noah. So not only is Noah's story true, not only is the ark real, but even the things like it that happened in that day are real. Because the Lord Jesus says in verse number 38, for in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now let me ask you a question. Is there anything wrong with eating and drinking?
No.
Yeah, I'm sure within an hour, many of us are going to be eating and drinking. Is there anything wrong with marrying or giving in marriage, our children being married? No. But there is something wrong. They were doing all these things like God's judgment was not going to come. They were unaware that God was going to judge the world. As a matter of fact, the Lord says they're so busy doing these things until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now I want to read verse 39. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man be. So what does this tell us? The story we're going to look at in Noah's Ark has a lot of ways how things will be today when God is ready to bring judgment upon a world. And people are refusing to listen that the God of heaven will judge sin. One more passage of Scripture. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Most of the seconds have to do with prophetic things. But here's what Peter says in chapter 3. It will drop down to what he's saying, right down to verse number 3. Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. This is something that we see happening today. We have a whole society that's based upon its own desires and its own lusts. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And if you read 2 Peter, you'll find out the coming it's referring to is the Lord coming in judgment in this chapter. Notice what they say. Where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just like it was from the beginning of creation. This is what people say today. God is not going to judge the world. Where is he? Everything goes on just the way it always has. This is a doctrine that those in school know as uniformitarianism. All things continue on. It's the basis of evolution. It's what people are saying. Things just happen this way. Now, is this true that things are just going to continue on, that God's not going to judge the world? Look at verse number 5. For when they maintain this, It escapes their notice that by the word of God the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. So the first thing we have is the creation, that God did it. But notice verse number 6, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. They don't want to think about this. Do you know that there's evidence all over the world that this earth was indeed flooded by water once? I've been looking online dealing with apologetics, and one of the arguments creationists use is that you can find seashells on the highest mountains. Well, that's not the whole story. Late Tatanus could have done that. Just quickly, Sir Edmund Hillary was the first one to get to the top of Everest. In his books, there's some interesting notes what he reached at 26,000 feet. It says he came upon not only seashells, but he came upon this large bunch of clams. Have anyone ever been quahogging and clamming? Well, if you know anything about seahogs and clamming, you live by the sea, you do not find them closed and intact, do you? You find them open and you find them all apart. And all over the world today, at the highest elevations, you will find huge amounts of seashells and things. We believe that this is one of the evidences of the flood that was during the flood of Noah time when that was happening. But the point I'll simply make as I get into my story is this. The Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter goes on to say, prophesying today, now you can go home and look in your paper and you'll see many people saying there'll be no judgment. God's not going to hold us accountable for our sins and our iniquity. God's just going to let everything go because we're getting away with it. And God says, remember, remember the flood. Remember that God does judge sin. Now, as we get into our story this morning, I'd like to tell you that it goes back to the Old Testament, back to when the earth was very young. At this time in history, man lived to be very, very old. Today, we think someone is old if they live to be like let's just say, 200. Wouldn't you say that's old for a person? Well, in this time, the effects of the fall hadn't taken place before Noah's time, and people lived to be between 600 and 900 years old. You have to remember that in our story, that that's one of the things that made the world get so overpopulated, was the long length of time that people were able to grow. And let me just give you a little riddle that I thought was interesting. And I'll see if anyone can get it this morning. I know we all know the answer, but when you tell it this way, it doesn't come out quite the same. Here's the riddle, particularly you Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers usually do a better job with the stories than the preachers. Well, who was the oldest man that ever lived but died before his father? He's the oldest man that ever lived but died before his father. Can anybody answer that one? I battled this one almost for an hour when I found this question on a genealogy chart. I couldn't think of it. Well, let's think of it this way. Who was the oldest person who ever lived? Methuselah. That's right. He lived to be 969 years of age. And believe it or not, people were so old in this day that Adam was still alive 200 years before Noah. And Methuselah actually knew Adam. But the Bible says after the people were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, that the world started to go on and started not to acknowledge God at all. People decided to live for themselves. Does it sound like today? And after a while, after hundreds of years, now, it's hard for us to imagine this because none of us is going to live down here to be over 200. But can you imagine people 500 years of age, how much power they would get. And the Bible says that men, instead of remembering the Lord, that they started to forget the Lord, and they started to live any way they wanted. Any way they wanted, they started to forget God. And you know what happens when you forget about God? Well, you start to go into something called sin. And they started to sin. The Bible says that by the time of Noah, almost everyone upon the face of the earth was hot, were corrupt continually. In other words, people were always bad continually from the very early age and all the time up. God has promised that there would be a Messiah that would come through people. But now the whole earth is corrupt. You know what the Bible says? It grieved God that he had made man upon the earth. Do you know something? When I go into a hospital, and if it's a situation where a person is dying or passing, someone that has suffered through illness or whatever, or a car accident, it is a very sorry thing and hard. But you know, God was very sorry, for he saw what sin did to man. And you know, today people often ask me when something happens, where is God? Well, the same place, it grieves him. But people just went on sinning continually. And let me tell you that God sent them special messengers. Matter of fact, God sent them the seventh from Adam. God sent them a man named Enoch. Do you remember Enoch? Enoch is that man, it says, who walked with God. And as a little girl told the story once to her mom when she got home from Sunday school, she said, the Lord and Enoch were out for a walk, and after a while, Enoch got so close to where the Lord lived, the Lord said, come home. Well, Noah was one that walked with God, but Enoch was the other one who walked with God. A matter of fact, Noah's father, Lamech, he had begotten a son that was named Methuselah. You remember we said Methuselah is the oldest person who ever lived? And the name of Noah, by the way, means he will give rest. But Methuselah was also giving a message, telling the people to repent. You see, God doesn't want to judge people. God wants people to be saved, that they might be saved from their sins, they might come back into fellowship with him. But you know what the Bible tells us? Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached for the 120 years that ark was being built. He kept preaching the word of God. And you know what? None of his neighbors believed him. They all said, Noah, you're nuts. God's not going to judge the world. Now, you say that this is too simple, even a child can understand it? Well, come with me to Harvard and ask the brightest and the finest there if God's going to judge their sin and the holy God can't look upon sin. They'll tell you the same thing. But we know from the Bible that not one person outside of Noah's family believed the message that God was going to be judgment upon the world. Now, you know, the Bible says that the way Noah was saved was by faith. Now, Noah believed God, and God told him, I want you to build a giant boat, a giant ark. And you know what Noah said? He said, yes. He started to build a giant boat. Now, let me tell you something about this story. No one has seen a giant boat before. Not only that, the Bible says it had never rained. But God said, I'm going to bring a giant flood upon the earth. And I want people to be saved, but they have to come into this ark that I'm going to build. And you know that ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And before God ever sent judgment, he had a way prepared for man to be saved. In the garden, before Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, he already promised that there'd be a redeemer. As a matter of fact, about the Lord Jesus, the Bible says he's a lamb slain from or foreordained from before the very foundation of the world. Well, God had a plan. He wanted to see man saved. He told Noah there was judgment to come. We as Christians, our responsibility is to be like Noah, to tell people that there is a judgment to come. And you know, Noah kept on preaching for 120 years. 120 years and no one listened. And people have told me that Noah was a pretty poor preacher, wasn't he? Imagine preaching for 120 years and not having one person get saved other than the members of your own family. But that's what Noah did. He kept telling people that God was going to send judgment. And they started to make fun of him. They said it will never happen. Then Noah started to build this large boat, a boat that we call an ark. And by the way, if you go to Hong Kong, they actually have an ark about this size today, built by two Christians. Well, Noah built the ark just like the Lord had told him. We know he had a lot of help. The Lord had told him judgment was coming, and he told him to prepare an ark that he and all the animals might be safe. Now, you know, boys and girls, this morning, we're not going to get into all of them because there's so many, but this ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus. There's only one way to be saved. And notice on this ark, how many doors are there? One door, and so we used to sing as kids. I was doing this somewhere, and an older person started to sing him back, one door and only one, and yet it's a two. I'm on the inside. Well, anyhow, there was one ark, that one door in the ark. There's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. And anyone that will come to get inside the ark must come in through the Lord Jesus. Noah kept preaching, and people kept thinking he was crazy. But finally, when the ark was done, something very strange started to happen. One day, the people noticed that Noah was out there preaching like usual, but they noticed that a lot of animals started showing up. Just like the Bible said, two by two, they started to come. And you know, I heard some wise people make fun of this story. And I asked them why, and they go, well, you think the animals could come like that? Well, I certainly think the God that made them could make them come, don't you? Well, that's it. The Lord was drawing the very animals to come to the ark. And by the way, the animals at this time were not untamed like they are today. A matter of fact, meat didn't start to be eaten till after this time was it really allowed. But the animals started to come two by two. And by the way, you couldn't fit all the animals in the world today on the ark. But you could fit one of each species. You couldn't put every dog on the ark, for example. But if you look at a tree that has to do anatomy and things, you'll see that all other animals came from this animal. And those who have studied this will tell you that all these animals were probably the ancestors of the animals we have today. And Noah took them and placed them all on the ark, and they came. And it's very interesting that they all had to come through the same door. Let me tell you something about this ark, how it's a picture of the Lord Jesus. It was made out of gopher wood. Now, we really don't know what gopher wood is. I looked up the Hebrew lexicons, and they really won't say dogmatically what it is either. Well, we seem to believe it's some type of cypress that grew over there. But one of the things that's interesting was Noah had to make this out of wood. Now, you know, wood had to be cut down, right? Where does wood come from? Come on, young guys. Show your parents up. Where do you get wood from? A tomato plant? Or a tree? A tree, yeah, that's right. From a tree, and the tree has to be cut down. That reminds us another beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus in Isaiah 53, where he's like a root out of dry ground, and he had to be cut down. It shows us the fact that the Lord Jesus had to come in his humanity, and his life had to be cut off, and he had to give it. Another interesting thing about this ark, you guys, is to make it so the water wouldn't get in, the Lord told Noah to seal it with a kind of pitch. And notice what it says in the Bible, on the inside and on the outside. You know, if you want to make something really tight, you put it on the inside and on the outside, which is exactly what he did. And this word, yapa, in the Hebrew, I found it was interesting. It's one of the few things the Hebrew experts agree on. It's the word that's used throughout the book of Leviticus for the word, our word, English word, atonement. It's because this tar was supposed to cover the boat so there wouldn't be any leaks in it. And atonement is when God covers our sins so he won't judge us for them. And what this is a picture of the fact that the Lord Jesus was going to bear our sins. He was going to make an atonement for us. Just as this boat was going to bear the storm. Well, the animals started to come, and no one was listening. The Bible tells us by the time Noah got to this point, he was 580 years old. Okay? And he's still telling them to go into the ark. Well, you know what finally happened was the Lord told Noah one day, and the Lord told Noah this. We don't know the day or the time of God's judgment and things, but God told Noah, get into the ark. You and your family get into the ark. Well, you know what they did? They got into the ark. And by the way, the ark is the Lord Jesus. There's judgment to come. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you safe? Very good hymn we sung this morning. Does your anchor hold? Are you sure of your salvation? Well, anyhow, Noah went into the ark, and guess what it started to do as soon as Noah went into the ark?
Rain.
Nope. Right, adults? It didn't. It didn't rain for 77 days. 7 days they sat in the ark while the people outside made fun of them. You know, I couldn't help but almost chuckle as I thought of this. That's what they do sometimes when we're downtown. And we're telling people about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. People are chuckling and say, what are those idiots doing? We're trying to warn them about the wrath to come. Finally, the Bible says that the Lord shut the door, as we just heard. And when the Lord shut that door, it meant that no man can open it. You know, today is what we could call the gospel age. That door is still open. Now, I want to tell you, these people had never seen rain. By the way, there was no rivers anywhere near Noah for 30 miles. So why would you be building a boat 450 feet long if there's no river even, never mind lake, huge lake or ocean, but there's no river for miles and miles? Well, they did it, and they got inside. Now, I don't know what they talked about, but you know, Noah was probably listening to one of his son-in-laws, perhaps, saying, or one of his sister-in-laws saying, well, maybe we're wrong. Well, Christian, you're not wrong. If you're a Christian, there is judgment coming, and there's only safety in the ark. Well, you know, it started to rain. Remember I mentioned that it had never rained? A matter of fact, we don't even know from the Bible if there were clouds in the skies, because we know in those days that there was a huge canopy of water that went over the earth. That was one of the reasons for why people lived long, and that was where some of this water came from that was going to destroy the world. Well, it started to rain and it started to come down. Can you imagine what those people were thinking? Suppose you've never seen rain before, and all of a sudden the sky starts falling, as it were. It started to rain. Perhaps the people looked at one another and go, it's a coincidence. Just happens to work out. Well, after a while, the rain started to come down harder and harder. Now, I don't know what these people did, but I know the Bible says the very heavens, the atmosphere in the heavens, was changed to the point where it gave moisture too and caused things like lightning. And you know what happened? The water started to rise. I often tell people that you're safe as long as the water's coming down. You aren't safe when the water starts to come up. And you know what happened? These people started to see for the first time in their life water rising. The Bible says that God watered the earth from underneath. Well, they were used to that, but all of a sudden they're seeing more water and they start to run for cover. And you know what they probably did? They went up on higher mountains and they tried to get away from the rain that was coming down. But there was more and more rain coming down. And the Bible says it came to the point where all the mountains on the earth were covered. And the Bible says that the ark was literally 15 cubits above the highest mountain. Or in other words, where the ship is in the water was over 22 feet above the highest mountain. And what I want to tell you this morning is very simple, boys and girls. Those that were in that ship were saved. They weren't saved because they thought God would answer prayer. They weren't saved because they knew that there was a way to be saved. They were saved because they got into the ark. And as I was saying earlier, people tell me that Noah was a very poor preacher. And I look at them, I shake my head. Who was saved in those days? Help me out. Noah's family. You know, as we see the increase in wickedness, which is one of the marks of the latter days, even as I stand before us this morning, there's not one of us my age who would ever think that that males would be marrying males. We would never think that our society would have gone this far 40 years ago. A society that just wants to save the whales and kill the babies, for example. There's a wickedness going on in our nation. One of the other marks, as we'll see tonight at this time, was there was demonic activity. And you know, we see all these things like the Harry Potter thing and people are just playing. Let me tell you something. Demons are real. The devil will do anything possible to get a person away from the Word of God. The storm is coming down. I want you boys and girls to notice something about this boat. It's a funny looking boat because there's two or three things that it doesn't have. What do you see on a sailboat, boys and girls?
Sail.
A sail, very good. Very good, a sail for movement. But you see, this wasn't a voyage trip. They went on a pleasure trip. It was more like a barge that was used so people might be saved. It wasn't for the purpose of going sailing. It was for the purpose of saving life. And the Bible says, as this storm went on, we don't understand it, but this boat must have went up and down and all around. And one of the interesting things that I find today that those who are in boat engineering will tell you, this boat had the perfect proportions for being in a place where it wouldn't sink. As a matter of fact, they did tests with this to show that an object with these proportions would not sink. And all those in this ark were safe. Let me suggest something to us this morning. All us who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, what are we? We're safe. We're safe from God's judgment because the Lord Jesus has bore our sins according to the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ is our rock. Let me just close with this. I thought this was very interesting. How many arks are in the Bible?
One.
Sunday school teacher, well, there's at least one. How many? Okay, we got at least three. We got the Ark of the Covenant, we got the Ark and the bulrushes, and we got Noah's Ark. And that's very interesting, for every Ark is built for the same purpose, to carry and protect something. Moses was in the bulrushes. Remember, boys and girls, your Sunday school teacher? how his mother put him in that little basket to keep him safe, so Pharaoh was a type of the devil, would not be able to destroy him. He was kept safe. The reason I say there's three hawks in the Bible is, many years ago at Buttonwoods when I was a kid, the older people used to visit every house in the neighborhood. It was just something everybody did. Well, they visited this one house, and this lady came to the door, and a couple of men were trying to talk to her, and they were saying, "Do you believe the Bible?" You know what she said? "I don't believe that book. It doesn't make sense." And the first thing you do when somebody tells you that, what do you say? "Show me." So she opened the book up to Joshua. You know what she read? About the priest carrying the ark over the River Jordan. And she looked at one of those men and she said, "How can those men carry a 450-foot long ark?" Well, the first ark is a type of the Lord Jesus. He saves us from Satan by his death on the cross. Through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Then there was another ark, the Ark of the Covenant. If you remember, what was kept in that was the very law of God. You know what the law of God would do to each one of us? All it would tell us is that we're sinners and we deserve to be punished. But it was the atonement, it was the ark that kept us from that. And that's why when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he bore our punishment. And then you got the third ark that you see here, the big ark that everyone knows. It's there that people might be saved. And today, that is the answer we have. The ark is that picture of the Lord Jesus Christ by which we can be saved. The Lord Jesus is the one who went through the waters and we are resurrected with him. So that's our story. Now we got a few minutes left. So let's look at a couple of scriptures and see. Let me turn to Jude chapter 14, verse 14. And somebody's telling me, you said, "What chapter is that?" Well, Jude, there is no chapters. There's one. Here's what it says in verse number 14. And this tells us about the world of Noah's day. "In which also about these men, that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam." By the way, Noah is number 10, the 10th man. In Scripture, the 10th man in genealogy is always important. Noah was 10, but Enoch was the 7th from Adam. Now notice what it says in verse 14. So this puts him before Adam, before Noah. "He prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones." Now look at verse number 15. "To execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So this tells us that preceding this time, what was happening is people were not only living like God doesn't exist, but they were actually lifting their hands in revolt against the God of heaven. They were telling God himself that he was doing these things wrong. Look at verse 16. "These are grumblers, finding fault, knowing after their own lust." And this is why. "They speak arrogantly, flattering the people for the sake of gaining an advantage." So what we see happening here is, this is the world we are in today. It is a world which is a revolt against the God of heaven. But we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to be like Noah. By the way, in picture, Enoch walked with the Lord, he was not. That's a type of the church before the judgment came. But the Jewish people during the time of the tribulation, just like it says here, will go through that tribulation period, and the Bible says many will be saved, just like some being saved in Noah's time. So what is the answer to our question this morning? The most important thing in the world is that you realize that only is there salvation through the Lord Jesus, that there is no other way. And by the way, if you think those verses are too strong where it says that people are arrogant today, try to tell somebody in the news thing today that there's only one way to be saved. And see how quickly you are canceled out. But you know that gospel still goes out. And that gospel still needs to go out. Because people still need to be saved. So I'm going to do something. I call this antitypical of Chuck. We got to close in a word of prayer. I want you to notice it's 5 minutes of 12. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for each man or woman that's here this morning. We thank Thee particularly for each boy and girl, our Father, that You are working in their lives while they are yet young, that they may not only have salvation, but that they may be of use to Yourself and Your Son. Father, we thank Thee for the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we know that there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, Father, we thank Thee for Him who has endured the storm. We're thankful, our Father, that there's a door of opportunity. And, Father, we would be reminded again even this morning, we know not when that time will be up. Father, we pray if there's anyone here today that don't know if they would be safe from the wrath of God, we pray that today might be their day that they place faith in the Lord Jesus. We realize the evil one will want them to put this off. Put it off to another day, another time. But, oh, Father, You would that all men would be saved. Father, we think of Your long-suffering, a God who is patient, even where the world has crucified Your Son. Oh, our Father, help us as Your people to be faithful. First of all, living for Thy Son, and second of all, telling out the gospel of the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.